Welcome, because you are now listening to From the Cart Path with your host, Trent Roberts, bringing you tips, support, and player recognition and education with the experts for parents and junior golfers in Indiana. This is From the Cart Path with your host, Trent Roberts.
Hey everyone, this is Trent Roberts again with From the Cart Path. And at the last second, we decided to do a high school regional preview for the golf regionals that begin on Thursday. I'm lucky to have two coaches with me. I have the Elkhart High School head coach, Todd King, and then I have fresh off their sectional victory, Nate McClung over at Yorktown. And guys, thanks for joining me. And both of you had great sectionals. But we're going to let Todd go first because we're going to get right into the regionals. Todd, let's go right into Regional 1 and kind of talk to me about your regional and what your team's doing to prepare for that.
Yeah, you know, thanks for having me. I really appreciate that. I'm excited to talk about this. It's going to be a really competitive regional. My coaches and I looked at 5 to 6 teams that really could get out. There's 5 to 6 teams that could get out into state. You got Lake Central, you got Twin Lakes, they've been playing really well. Logan Sport, we're paired with Logan Sport and Lake Central. You got St. Joe, who was just behind us, you know, in the sectional. They're knocking on the door. And then obviously South Bend Trinity at Greenlawn. No, we've been close with them all year long. So it's going to be a battle. It's going to be really tight regional. So
who are some of the individuals that have to perform or are going to perform at that regional in order for their team to get out?
Well, with Trinity, I mean, in sectionals, Dane Swigert, he was a sectional champ, played well. He'll have to play well again. And then you got, I can't think of his last name. Oh my goodness. Jackson. I'm going to say it's Mercy. No, I can't remember now, but
that's fine. Let's go with Jackson.
Yeah. Jackson is their number three. I should know this. But we just played him the other day. But yeah, those two kids, they played well, and I think they have to play well again.
Is it Cressy, coach?
Thank you, gosh. Yeah, Cressy. Yeah, I was going to say, I kept thinking Messi, but yeah, Cressy. Thank you. Yeah, they play well all year, and yeah, those two really have to, I think, play well for them to get out. You know, as far as Lake Central, Twin Lakes, I don't really know much about. I followed them. I followed their scores, but, you know, I've seen what they've shot, but I really don't know their individuals as far as what they have or, you know, their names and whatnot. So,
but yeah, the Northwest is always kind of difficult for the state of Indiana. A lot of those players will cross over to Chicago to play some of their summer events, not as always over here in Indiana until it's the big event. So you don't always see them as frequently. So yeah, I get it, Todd. It's, you know, obviously Eli Postma won, Ileana Christian won the sectional over there. And obviously he's moving on as an individual, but Lake Central with Tyler Morton is who came in actually tied for first over there. So that may be one of the guys leading their team over there at Lake Central.
Yeah, I know that. I know that name. He's played solid all year long. You know, we're the farthest east school that feeds into that regional. I mean, we're so close on the border, you know, with that we could easily have played, you know, over at the Warsaw regional. We're almost closer to Warsaw than we are to, the region out there. So we just don't see a lot of these teams, even a lot of the weekend tournaments that we played all year. We haven't seen them much. So.
Well, you're telling me, Todd, when I saw you up in Elkhart a few weeks ago, how difficult it is even for you to try to get in those invitationals. There's a wait list. And you would love to go over there to make it easier for you guys to see everybody. So obviously I know that's something you're working on for the future.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we try to get into the Lake Central invite at Sandy Pines, and we were right on that waiting list, but we couldn't get in, so that would have been really helpful. But, you know, we've had Stephen Webb, now our number two. He was our number one player for the last 3 years. He's been the regionals the last 3 years, so that he knows the course really well. You know, we've got a practice round tomorrow, so I think from his knowledge and from what we know about the course, I think tomorrow's practice round really help us. So we're looking forward to that.
And you have one of the top three freshmen in the state. So with Ben DeVito, and I think like we talked earlier before the show is, he might be the one player up north that not everybody's aware of, but the boys across the state everywhere else know who Ben is. So I think definitely. That's going to be a sneaky pick for me to see Ben kind of continue his play. I could see Ben actually pulling off the regional as an individual and helping your team lead the state. That's just my prediction. Todd, don't take that to the team, but I do believe you guys have a great shot of making it to state this year.
Yeah. You think? I appreciate it. Yeah. As coaches, we believe that. They've been playing well. All five guys that have been playing well. Ben, yeah, I really think he's due. He keeps telling me, Coach, when it gets warmer out, I start playing better. I start playing better when it gets to summer, and we're right there beginning of the summer. So he's excited. So
I think Nate can agree with me, Todd. When are we getting warm weather?
Right. Right.
Today might have been the first day, but the wind was blowing.
Yeah, right. I think tomorrow we're finally going to get above 80 possibly, for a practice round and into Thursday up over, in DeMott over at Sandy Pines. So we're looking forward to that. So, yeah, it'll actually feel like summer finally. Can't wait.
Nate, how much do you know about that region? I know you are probably one of the leaders in the state with your information across the way. How much do you know about up that way?
Yeah, I mean, I think Coach King, first of all, Coach King, congrats on a great season.
Thank you very much.
Super cool to see how well you guys have played, and same with Trinity, really, just small schools that not everybody's heard of, to Trent's point. I think it's neat. I coach at a total different part of the state, and I find myself rooting for these young men. I see their names. I don't even know what they look like until I see the team photos. So congratulations on a great year. I didn't have anything major to add there, Trent, just kind of what we talked about before we got started. It'd be interesting. I think you have a chance that three schools advance out of your sectional through this regional too. We always kind of, I know I've listened to some of your previous podcasts, and you talk about that regional three with Westfield, Zionsville, and Carmel, kind of similar to what you have there at Sandy Pines. I mean, there's a decent chance that you see those same three schools that went, what'd you go, 297, 299, 306 there at your sectional, Coach?
Yep. Yes, we did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, down at Dykeman, you had Logan Sport at 298 and Twin Lakes at 299. Now, I wish I always knew the yardage that they're playing these at. That's why, Nate, I want to make a big push. I know the state of Kentucky, with the guys that are kind of doing what I'm doing down there, have actually partnered up with the high school group, and they're actually going to all live scoring in the next 2 years through the Blue Golf down there. That's one of their goals. That way you can see what are the yardages everyone's playing, so we have a better idea when we see some of these scores. And I think it helps you when you do rankings as well, is because if a team's playing at 5,900 yards and they're shooting 290, and yet then you over here, you guys are over here playing at HSC and everywhere else at 6,800 yards, 7,000 yards. We're not talking apples to apples here. So it'd be great to kind of see what some of these courses are playing at on the sheets.
Totally. Yeah, definitely the slope, the rating of the course, all that comes into play too,
Absolutely.
The difficulty of it, yeah.
Well, speaking of the next regional, let's jump right into regional two. And obviously, I don't think there's any doubt in anyone's mind that fighting for that third spot as a team is going to be crazy. But once we get outside of who's fighting for that team spot, the individual battle blows my mind. You have two of the top 50 players in the world of junior golfers, and Alex Holder and Braden Miller playing at that regional. And then you have the Haar brothers, who are two of the top 250 players in the world. So we're not talking a state event. We're talking a regional high school event with some of the best players in the country. And that includes Caden Baker and basically the entire roster of Homestead. Nate, what do you – go ahead, guys. I mean, I'm going to let you regional.
Let me chime in. I mean, you know what's ironic for us is that with Elkhart, we play Westview Fairfield. We play Westview. We were paired with them three times in tournaments this spring. And so, like I said, we play most of those schools that are in that region, a lot of those schools that are in the regional. So, just seeing those guys play and Silas, he's right on form, man. He's hot right now with that 63, and he's playing really well. So I think he has really opportunity to win that regional personally. So
absolutely. I think there's so many names out that one. Caden's been playing well all year too. Yep. I know Braden didn't have the best sectional, but he came off a great performance, the Dye Junior. So I think there's a lot of those guys. And I mean, obviously Alex had a great sectional as well. So, I mean, gosh, that regional is, they could charge admission.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. To watch some of those guys.
Yeah. It's definitely a loaded field right there. It's Braden Miller. He can, definitely, he could get it too.
Yeah, so I think the tough thing for a player of Braden's caliber too, and you know, Silas or whomever else, Alex, is it's not dissimilar to swimming, where it's not, you know, you can't shoot 66 every, like Braden just needs to shoot, and you know, he wants to go out and shoot 700 par every day, but he just needs to get out. You know, like you go back 5, 6, 10 years, even our state champion, a lot of the time individually struggles to get out of sectional and or regional. You just, because I think there's so much pressure on those kids, and some of them are playing for teams too. There's the pressure playing for yourself, but it's a way more pressure if you're trying to help your team get there.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit different dynamic, no matter the tournament experience you have. Trying to play well sectional and then regional, and you really want to play your best golf at state. But yeah, this sectional two, regional two at Stonehenge is absolutely loaded.
Definitely.
100%. And I think when we talk about Alex Holder as a freshman, he was one under par, didn't make it to state. And I look back at that going, it's almost like you talk about swimming. If you hit a certain time, you make it. Sometimes I wish we had a certain score. If a kid made it, we find a way to get them there. Because you kind of want the best there, because sometimes the system just doesn't work out for them. And I think this is one of those regionals for individuals. And I know when we get to talking about a certain regional on the west side of the state, we're going to be talking the same thing about the teams there.
Trent, that year that Alex shot -1 and didn't get out, was that for the one of the 2 years that we only had the two individuals get out? Do you happen to remember?
Yeah. And you don't want that's a whole different podcast, Nate.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, it was that year. It was because Silas and Braden made it through. Then Silas was runner-up that year in the state.
Right.
So, again, state runner-up, state champion, and then Alex is currently ranked 39th in the world. So, there you go. That's all we can talk about this. And we can't leave out the entire Homestead team, because when I was doing some homework before this, if I could pull out the Universal Golf Rankings real quick for you guys, they had the number 10 in Caden, number 23, number 25, and number 30. So they host four of the top 30 players in the state, and that's what makes them so strong. And when early in the year when I did the preseason podcast with the boys, all the kids from up north were like, you're not thinking about Homestead, because everyone forgot Holden Orofino transferred into Homestead this year along with that roster and just made them really good.
Hey, I listened to that podcast on a treadmill and loved it. I mean, that was, I think it was maybe an hour long show. I listened to it twice actually.
Nice. Thank you.
What you having the players on, that was super enjoyable. And again, I'm just a coach, right? I don't hit golf shots, but that was, and you hit it on the head. Like those guys knew this Homestead team's going to be a problem. And we didn't mention Leo or Carol or, you know, like this
stacked
is loaded.
It is. And it's crazy is, and real quick before we move on to Regional 3, and you know this up at your regional, Todd, is the players up north, it seems like South Bend market to that northeast part of the state, there are so many strong players in that area. And one of the things I've always enjoyed about that area is these kids can find somewhere to play, and those courses will allow them to play, and that helps them in their growth. Where once you get down more in the central part of the state, there's a lot of talent down here, but a lot of the members are clubs. They have that ability to go there. And those kids who can't go to a club, a lot of the courses aren't as friendly to let these players on as they are up north. So you guys have a great thing going on up there. And gosh, so much talent up there.
Oh, yeah. My guys play a lot of variety of courses even throughout the season. We go to a lot more than one course. We go to three different courses just to practice. And, you know, so definitely they get on a lot of different courses.
Todd, it feels like Stonehenge is pretty good for junior golf, right? Like they host a bunch. They host a bunch of stuff. They've always been. We haven't gone up there in a few years, but they were always great to my guys. Just it seems like the people who run that operation are fantastic for junior golf and just
they do a great job. I mean, Warsaw's lucky to be there. It's just a great facility, great practice facility. You know, so they do a fantastic job, and it's a great course,
right?
Yo, guys, I know as we move on, I know some of these guys are going to be mad you didn't mention my name. I can see Alex Thompson listening to the show at Northridge going, hey, you never said my name. Alex, I just said it. So we'll get on to Regional 3 because there are so many players in that regional. You can't name them all. And let me get over here to Regional 3. And we're talking the number 1, 12, 2, and now we insert the number 9 team in the state in Brownsburg. And we have an honorable mention in Verbuff. So – I don't think it's as easy as 1, 2, 3 this year for who's getting in there. Now that Guerin's out, which I hate seeing that Guerin's out of the state tournament, but that's just the way the system's set up. We could talk for hours and hours about the system, but that's the system we have. This is the situation we're dealing with. And now we've lost one of our top 10 teams in the state and our number 7 in Guerin Catholic. So, guys, I'm going to let you talk a little bit about this regional.
You want to go, Coach? Or?
Well, I mean, it's just – no, that's a different world for us down there. I mean, there's just so many stacked teams. I mean, I would love – you know, that's my – for us, for Elkhart, that's our goal for next year to get in this, you know, like the Hall of Fame or what's the other one? Is it the Yulin?
Yep,
right?
Yulin Invitational where a lot of teams go.
The Invitational's like that. And hopefully, if things work out, the state preview, you know, because we want to start playing those type of teams. And, you know, just – I think we could fit right in and play those, but it's just a stacked regional. All that talent there, all the teams. I mean, it's just amazing what they're shooting. So, like I said, it's a different world from Elkhart. It really is right now.
Yeah, and even when you think about the individuals that are going to get out of there, obviously Eli West will qualify as an individual out of Guerin, and we're going to have Eli later on the show. Whatever team doesn't make it out, they're probably going to have one or two individuals make it along with Eli, in my opinion.
I agree. That's what I was looking at too, Trent. I mean, I saw Brownsburg play about a week ago. They came up to an event we hosted. They have 5 golfers, and obviously Coach Maples has been around the block. He's going to do a great job. They're going to be well prepared. I'm sure it's a golf course they're familiar with. I mean, are we just assuming Westfield and Zionsville play golf? I think it's going to be tough for either of those teams not to advance. But, you know, Carmel played great. To get out of that sectional, obviously.
They shoot
97, I believe.
97, yeah.
But I mean, I think you're right. Like, Eli's going to play. And then you're looking at probably individuals coming out of either Brownsburg or Carmel. The other Guerin kid certainly could shoot a number and get himself out as well. But I kind of put down just in my mental notes, I think that individually this one's maybe a little bit more straightforward. Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you this, you know Chard as well as I do, Nate.
Oh, yeah.
Chard is at home right now planning this out.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
He's already told me that. He's like, Trent, I'm too busy. Because I asked him to join us tonight, and Chard flat out goes, I'm focused, I'm busy, I'll talk to you later.
And he's a gym rat, yeah.
He is a golf rat, gym rat. You were 100% correct, because everyone in the state knows Chard is planning, because Chard still considers himself a defending state coach champ because he hasn't coached in a few years. So, Chard, I threw that out there for you because that's what you've told me all year. So, I know Chard, and I know he's preparing. So, can't count Carmel out, and you can't count out Brownsburg either.
Absolutely,
this is going to get – it's going to get interesting, especially at Coyote Crossing. That course is currently hosting the state girls. And those greens are rolling, and they're getting that course prepared.
I think Carmel just – I haven't talked to Chard a whole lot this season, but I think they have a little bit of chip on their shoulder. You know, like I just – it feels like – it seems strange that Carmel is not just automatically a powerhouse. Like, why do we think Carmel is suddenly not a powerhouse? You know, maybe it's just because Westfield keeps breaking 280. But if not for Westfield just playing out of their minds every time they play, I think we look at Carmel a little differently because they're still really, really good, and they have 5 really good players.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to Westfield too, is you have 2 players on that team, and Will and Jake, who are 2 top 100 players in the world as junior golfers, one going to IU, one going to Purdue, and you cannot count – you know, and I won't say Little Caesar on the radio, and I already did, but you can't count out Ryan either. I know Ryan is just as good as his brother, and he proved that at sectionals by shooting a 72 and beating Big Brother. You know, this Westfield team, I told some friends of mine that I speak with on a regular basis because of the coaching network that I've got to know and working with Lauren and Carrie, this Westfield boys team could compete on the Division I level right now.
Oh, yeah.
What did they shoot on the back nine? 137, 138?
Yep.
They went 32, 34, 34, 37, I believe. What's that add up to? I mean, it was really low, and they had to shoot it because they were in fourth at the
Correct. Turn. And that's at Yulin, which is not an easy course. Those greens are fast.
Right.
So, guys, we pretty much know Regional 3. I think, Coach, you're kind of interested in this next regional.
Yeah. And I think you sent me a message just before we started that our regional was sneaky, sneaky good. And I think it kind of to the point I said earlier about Coach King and you guys having a great year is some of these schools that aren't Noblesville and aren't Hamilton Southeastern or Cathedral, Pendleton and Eastbrook both have players. So I think both, and we're talking Regional Four at Players Club. I like to joke that Muncie Central hosts it, but it is our home course. So, you know, you have Noblesville and Hamilton Southeastern both coming off 296s. Cathedral played probably the best they played all year. So I think, like, if you were to seed it, I think you go Noblesville 1, HSE 1B, and then you have Pendleton, Cathedral in some order. And then Eastbrook is as good at 1-2 as anyone in the state outside probably the big three or four teams. They have a freshman kid named Landon Tropf who is a stud. Aaron Folda is just a gamer who's made it to state individually on his own twice. And then I think with Eastbrook, though, their third and fourth scores are a little less predictable. And then you have a lot of teams, like kind of like my team, that's kind of hovered around 320. Like you have a Mount Vernon team that has a lot of experience with Eli Lemon at the top. He can play. Mm-hmm. You have, and I'm talking teams still. So I think it's, if you had to seed it, that those five I mentioned are probably the favorites to advance as a team. But then individually is, in my opinion, I got a couple guys, if our team doesn't play well, we would have to play very, very well at Yorktown to get out as a team. Not that we can't do it, but individually, I really think it's going to take something in the red number.
I agree.
Because the weather's going to be pretty good. Players Club's going to be gettable and it plays 7,000 yards, but high school kids can get hot out there and make some birdies when the greens are in good shape and they're going to be receptive and the golf course is going to play fast.
As long as a kid doesn't get lost walking from tee box to tee box there.
Exactly. Okay. We'll probably allow a little bit of shuttling. I mean, you got the Lehman, Trop Fold I mentioned, Lemon, Tommy Clinker, solid, Preston Lancat. The Tipton kids always play well at Players Club. And that's the other thing, too, with Noblesville and Hamilton Southeastern. Noblesville plays Players Club as much as any course that's not in Hamilton County, probably. Mm-hmm. So Gary's going to have those guys ready to go. And then Hamilton Southeastern has a lot of talent, obviously, as well. Our regional, I think, is going to be a shootout. As a team, 305 is kind of the number that you want to shoot for to be safe. I don't know that that's any good this year, to be honest. I kind of mentioned to you, Trent, before we got started that the individual number, I think, kind of hovers around what Cathedral does, because if Cathedral plays really well, like they played last week, you take Johnny out of there, who I think Johnny's going to find his way into red numbers. Pendleton is very, very, very good. But their best player, Hayden Fox, is kind of a kid who just shoots 73, 74 a lot. And then Pendleton has five players who can shoot 75. So I think that individual number, whether it's 70, 71, or 72, is probably going to depend on that third team that gets out if we're going to assume that Noblesville and Hamilton Southeastern do.
And real quick before we move on to anything else, I just want to point out, I still believe that there is an opportunity for a freshman to match what Taylor Snively did earlier this year in the high school season by winning the state. I think Mac, Landon, or Ben could be somebody like that, because all three of those freshmen have the ability to play well. And we didn't talk about Mac earlier. Mac's thrown out some numbers this year, and I just want to remind everybody of that as well. So you got those three freshmen are solid, and I want everybody to remember those three names, because when we get to state, those three guys could show up.
Hey, Landon Tropf shot 65 at Delaware Country Club.
Correct.
We played it as a par 71.
At Delaware.
There were a bunch of ranked teams there. You know, Noblesville, Center Grove were there. Brownsburg was there. There were two players under par, and the other one was a 70.
Yeah.
So he won by five in a field of 96. Like, that kid can play.
That's what I'm saying, is we have three freshmen in the state right now that are strong, but we can't forget those seniors. So that's right. That group of seniors that we have right now. And obviously we're going to get down south now, and we can talk about Regional 5. Speaking of seniors, I think the hottest player in the state right now is Peyton Blacker.
Yep.
Dye Jr., that's a big tournament to win, and then he shoots 66 at sectionals. Peyton's my favorite right now to win state this year. And hopefully he doesn't listen to this, but I believe that Peyton is one of the strongest players in the state right now. But getting down to that regional, a little bit built, a little different. We have a lot of strong players down there too. This is crazy how many strong players we have. But team-wise, obviously Evansville North and Castle are two strong teams that I think will come out of there. Then I think it's anybody's ball game after that. I think Gibson Southern, if Peyton comes in strong, they could surprise people.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to go ahead, Coach King?
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, you know, I know, like I said, we're being from the far up north of Indiana. You know, I see a lot of these names, a lot of these teams on Twitter, you know, on your podcast or on Twitter and stuff. And it's just, there's so many solid players, you know, like the kid from Gibson Southern, they just play so well that they can, you know, I think they can definitely have an opportunity to get on the state and do well. Definitely.
I mean, just look at this regional alone. You have Peyton Blackard going to Notre Dame, Luke Johnston, Ball State, Caleb Snar, IU, Braden Lamborn, Ball State. There's other guys going to other places. So, I mean, it's
Brady Sorrell from Evansville North is going to Ball State as well.
Yeah. So look at that. Yeah. Five D1 players right there. And that's a stacked regional just as well as any other.
Trent, the thing I thought was kind of interesting, just looking at scores, in that same sectional with North and Castle, Boonville had two kids, Cash Willis and Mason Mills, shoot 73 and 72. And, I mean, that was the same golf course that Luke Johnston shot, what he shoot, 75 or 76? Yeah. So the Sorrell kid medaled with 67, but, I mean, those kids are 73 and 72. You know, that's strong play from Boonville. I think they shot 312 as a team.
Yeah.
But that's kind of back to the same thing about you have players all over the state from these schools that it's like you got to look at a map to figure out where it is. And I think that's awesome.
It is. I think it's great. And I think I don't know what you do, man. This is crazy. And it makes the tournament fun. And I hope, obviously, there's always a good turnout at Prairie View. It'd be interesting to see the bathroom situation this year now that they're redoing the clubhouse. But Prairie View puts on a great show. It's the perfect place to host the state tournament. And I know there's coaches from up north and down south that hate that all the schools can play there. I'm in agreement. I like how Bearsfly does it with our conference is no matches, no invitationals there all year except for conference. Hopefully someday we can get the coaches association to try to put something like that together wherever the state's at. But I do think there's some luck there too as well at the draw. But going into that regional, I think – personally, I don't know who the third team is getting out. I think it's going to be locked in individually. It's going to be a tough battle. So, but heading over to Regional 6.
Do we need to mention Caleb Snar there?
Going to IU, man. He's
probably worth, I mean, I don't think we said his name. If he listens, like he's been a really, it feels like he's been playing for 6 years down there at Jasper.
They get a COVID year down there at Jasper, I think.
Yeah. He's been really good for a really long time and go Hoosiers. So.
Absolutely. Caleb's a great player. And again, like we said earlier, look at all the players down there in that regional. And I think we talk about that regional with Braden and all those guys up there. We got to remember that regional down there. And as we get over to Regional 6, obviously Center Grove, I think, is the one team that definitely will get out. I know Franklin is ranked. However, I don't know personally – are there other teams that can knock them out of the way down there?
I think that this Franklin team's pretty good. I just they always play well at the Legends. You know, it's kind of like when you get a chance to play somewhere you're comfortable. Yeah. But they've played in similar events with Center Grove too, not just at the Legends, and played really well. I want to even say they just played Champions Point. Did they play last weekend and shoot 298? They're familiar with this golf course.
They did.
I'm pretty sure they're telling you they can.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think they just broke 300 there and had four or five guys in the 70s. I think this is maybe the best Franklin team, at least in modern history, you know, last 20 years or so. They're solid 1-5.
You can never question Ted and what he's putting together down there. Love him or hate him, Ted Bishop's going to put a solid team together.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
But you also, with Floyd Central, Corydon Central, and Providence, 299, 299, and 300 at their sectional. So that's where I kind of come into play here, too, is, boy, this is going to be a good team battle as well. And that's why I said earlier, I'm for sure Center Grove gets through, but then you have four solid teams right there.
That Providence team, I mean, you got Beckard at the top of that lineup. It's kind of like you were saying with Westfield and some of those other teams. You have a kid who can shoot 66, 68. That is big time.
Absolutely.
You know, because you have a kid who can shoot something in the mid to upper 60s and you can make 80s good, right, coach? Like you can go 68, 75, 80, 80, and that's a really good team score.
Definitely.
So, like, you get a player like Blaine Beckert. Is he playing at Florida Golf? He's playing somewhere cool.
Yes.
But, you know, he's a kid who we just saw him play last week. He's good. So I think, you know, that maybe gives Providence a chance there. I'm not as familiar as I would like to be with the Floyd Central team. But I know they've shot some really good scores.
Yeah, and I think when you're playing courses down south, too, I think it's a little different if it's – you just don't know. And, again, that's where it gets interesting is we've got five teams that have potential of getting out of that spot, and I think we just named those five. I think Franklin gets through, but I think also it's going to be a battle between those other three that we just discussed. I think that's the five teams we're looking at. And I can't count out Madison either. They send me stuff every day, so I have to make sure we mention Madison at the same time in all of this.
Landon True can play.
He's
another one. He's been playing down there in that area for a long time, and he shoots 70, 75 on every golf course he plays. So he's a really good player.
Nate, I like to think back when I played in high school golf back in Kokomo in the early 90s. I wish I had the equipment these kids had today. I mean, the ability with what these kids have today, the strength with the workouts, with the equipment they get, these kids are blessed, and we have a great regional coming up, and I can't even begin to think about who's going to make it out and what's going to happen. And now they're all Thursday and Friday, correct?
Yes,
definitely.
Man, we're going to have
go ahead. Just hearing all these names and all these teams, and there's just so many great players, and I think it's a testament just to shows how strong Indiana golf is, Indiana high school golf. It's just it's a great state tournament every year, and you know, it's just – there's so many kids that can win it, that can play well and win it, I think. You know?
Yeah, I would agree. And I attribute a lot of that to Indiana Junior Golf and all the other tours throughout the state that get these kids playing in a tournament environment to get them prepared for the levels they're at today. So big thanks to all those courses and all those tours to produce all these great players.
Yeah, and all the PGA professionals that work with them.
Absolutely. There's so many great coaches out there. Yep. One of these days, I'd love to be able to have a list of every player in the state and the coaches they go to. Then we can start really talking about the strong coaches, because I know some strong coaches everywhere of these swing coaches, and some of them are so involved even with the teams now.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about programs, and I think that's why Josh has built such a strong program at Westfield, is he's gotten involved in the community with all the different coaches and his players. And I think you're starting to see teams kind of copy what he's done.
Yeah, absolutely. You'd be foolish not to, right? I mean, Josh has been terrific, and not that they were weak before, but
no,
you know, Josh Bryan, and he's in it for the betterment of the young men too. I mean, I've heard him talk to Josh a lot about that. Like, he cares about the kids, and I think that's why Coach King and I are here as well.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, I'm one of those that as we move forward in the state tournament, that I'm 100% behind Josh. I think everybody wants to see him cross that line and get that first state title. I know other schools may disagree with me, but I want to see Josh get that state title.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, he's always welcoming. Josh, he's always welcoming. You know, Elkhart hasn't done much in golf in the state of Indiana, and just the last few years having an individual down there and talking with Josh and getting pointers, that kind of thing. He's great with all the coaches.
And they do a great job of sending teams across the state to represent their school. Okay. I feel like they have 20 different teams, but they got three teams somewhere every weekend playing.
Yeah.
And he does a great job of developing players. I tell you, I bet Josh, if he could enter all three of those teams, all three of them might be able to make it to state. That's just how great of a program he's built. So, you know, Josh, we wish you well along the state journey this year. Coaches, I appreciate your time. I know the boys are coming on soon, and great conversation. Man, I almost want to do this more. This is fun to talk about these individuals, and you get to know them better too. And as you see all the posts come up of them, it's great stuff.
Yeah. It's been fun just following your account on Twitter and whatnot, and just all the things that have happened across the state. It's been really fun following that. So really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And I love parents reaching out and coaches reaching out. A lot of them have been asking questions about the recruiting process lately and some of the other things going on. So we appreciate that because obviously, end of the day, our goal is to educate these players and then promote them at the same time. And I think we've been able to do that today. And then we get to educate across the state what's going to happen next for the state tournament.
I love your podcast. I need you to put one out every 6 days because I cut my grass. I cut my grass every 6 days, and I would really like to have that. You know, 45 minutes to an hour is perfect for my grass cutting. Live on a small lot. Love the show, and just thank you for your support of junior golf in the state of Indiana.
Thanks, Nate. I'll tell you what, if I don't put one out, just call me. I will yap for 60 minutes straight if you need me to.
That'd be terrific.
Definitely. Yep.
Todd, Nate, thanks. Good luck coming up here. Are you both on Thursday?
Yes, we are. Yep.
Tell the boys to play well on Thursday and have fun while they're out there and enjoy the moment, because this is something they will talk about the rest of their lives playing in the state tournament. And I can't wait to see how you guys perform.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Trent.
Definitely. Yeah. Nate, good luck. Good luck with your regional.
Yeah, you as well, Coach.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Coach. Yep. Thank you.
All right. Hey, everyone. I have partnered up with Path for Success in many different ways. And one of the things we want to make sure that we get out to everyone and offer them is the discount code that Path for Success has with Strackaline.com. Strackaline is one of the leading yardage books with the greens, where you can see the elevation of the greens and how you can see the greens read and help you out on the golf course. That discount code is Path for Success. That's PATHFORE Success. Thanks, everyone. Our next guest we have on this show for the high school regional preview is we have Peyton Blackard and Eli Wessel. I don't even need to do too much explanation of those two. They're two of the top players in the state, two of the top players in the country for junior golfers. Eli's headed off to Cincinnati after he graduates in 26, and then Peyton's headed to Notre Dame next year. So, guys, thanks for joining me. And real quick, Eli, let's get into a little bit of talking about your preparation for regionals, and you can talk about sectionals as well as much as you want to.
Yeah, thank you. I feel like for regionals at Coyote, it's a pretty demanding golf course, especially off the tee. They got a couple of tough tee shots in there. So really, you need to prepare yourself for that with driver, three wood, driving iron, all that sort of stuff. And then around the greens, it can be a little difficult as well with so they got a couple slopey greens out there. But it's really important to just stay patient. I feel like for myself that I could use a little bit of practice off the tee because I didn't feel like that was too great at my sectional play. But my putting practice that I needed kind of bailed me out a little bit. So I was happy with that overall, though. Happy to be advanced to regionals. I'm a little bummed out that my team's not there, but got to stay focused on what I got ahead of me.
Luckily, Eli, I've been able to see Coyote one of the last 2 days, and I know exactly what you're talking about with that course. Especially in the back nine, there's a lot of placement in order to set yourself up when you get going. And you're right, those greens are slopey, they're quick, and you got to set yourself up to position yourself to get to the right spot. A lot of open holes on the front. But once you get to number seven, it kind of changes. Those last three holes on the front, and then I'd say the first four or five holes on the back. Then you have a couple easier holes, and then you hit right back in the 16, which is a narrow. That green's narrow, and if you don't hit the right spot, you'll end up on the left side of that green. So you're right. Coyote is a tricky course, but if you're hitting the ball well, you can score well.
Yeah. We played it earlier this year in a invite, and I played well there, so I'm happy to bring in the momentum, hopefully, to regionals.
Peyton, you're coming off the Dye Junior Invitational win, and you're just coming off your sectional win, shooting a 66. What are you doing right now to prepare for regionals?
You know, our regional course is one that off the tee, it's not – I mean, it's demanding on a couple holes, but really you have a side that you can always miss on. So I'm not so much preparing for that as I am more of approach shots and wedge shots going into the green, because I'll have quite a few numbers on holes from inside 120 where, you know, you can really give yourself good chances all day. If I can get that number a little bit more dialed in than I have been recently. But, and then I haven't really, we've played there twice this year so far, and I haven't had the best putting days out there. I've hit it good, just haven't got, had the best putting days and not shot the scores that I wanted. So it's, we went up there today as a team and played and spent a lot of time on the greens, just trying to get a feel better for what I was missing on the reads and the speed. And, you know, I got a lot of confidence from that today. So just kind of trying to carry that over into Thursday, and, you know, I'll be ready and our team will be ready. So I'm ready for the day for sure.
Who are the teams to watch out for at your regional?
We have Evansville North, Castle, Jasper, us, and I want to say Bloomington South and a Terre Haute team. So it's, I mean, we have some good teams there for sure. You know, we're going to have to play one of our better rounds. If we can play like we did at our sectional, then I think we have a really good chance. But, you know, everybody's just going to have to grind through it, because there's going to be those few holes out there that's going to jump up and get you. But
one of the interesting things you just said with all those teams is when we normally talk about Division I players and regionals, we normally look up to Eli's regional, a ton of D1 players that are playing at that one this Thursday. But Peyton, down at your regional, there's just as many guys that are going to be playing D1 in the next 1 to 2 years. And who are some of those guys down there that we need to be watching out for on Thursday?
From Evansville North, they're 1 and 2. That's a pretty good 1-2 punch. They're both going to Ball State, Luke Johnston and Brody Sorrell. So that's a good 1-2 punch for a high school team, because they're both very consistent and don't shoot a high number, which is good for their team and good for them. And then from Jasper, you have Caleb Schnarr, who's going to IU, who he's obviously the leader of their team, but he's very consistent about how he goes around a golf course and does a lot of great things on the course. So, you know, it's for them, it's going to be about him leading the best way he can and putting a good number out for them. And then there's a couple other kids going to, I would say, a little bit smaller schools, but they're still, I mean, really good players that, you know, are able to shoot the scores that are needed to shoot to get out as a team and as an individual.
Absolutely. Eli, up at your regional, obviously the teams up there are just as good. Obviously the three coming from your sectional, and now Brownsburg gets entered in the mix. Well, how do you think that's going to pair out on Thursday for those teams?
Yeah, it'll be interesting for sure. A lot of times what has happened over the past couple of years has been just the three teams from our sectional that got out end up getting out at regionals. But I think Brownsburg's got a better squad this year than they have in years past, and they've been threatening in a couple events, and they actually got a win at Yulin against us. So they've proved that they can compete against the best. So it'll be interesting to see who gets out, you know, especially at a course like Coyote where anything can happen.
Absolutely. You're 100% correct about that course. I mean, that's a great tournament course to begin with. So we talk about courses that we're lucky that host some of these events. I think Coyote is one of the more underrated courses in that area, because you have Ackerman and Campen, and Coyote is a great course, especially as two finishing holes are kind of nice to sit there and watch players come in. Who are some of the individuals up at that regional, Eli?
Well, you got on Westfield, you have Will Harvey and Jake Caesar. Those guys are having two great years, and they're really playing well leading that team. And then Mac Myers on Zionsville. He's played well up there at Coyote. He's also having a great year as a freshman. It's pretty impressive to watch. And then there's not too many others. I know Jackson McCullough from Burbuff is also a pretty solid player. But I don't exactly know everybody, but those are typically the guys that you would see at the top of the leaderboard.
What's interesting is, if you want to talk about an outside player, Ethan Hoagland won the fall series event at Coyote last year. Obviously, I don't know who all was there, but still won that event at Coyote. And then he got out of there last year from regionals getting to state. So one of those underrated guys that you don't know, but Ethan's a good player and you don't know how he's going to perform that day. And sometimes when someone knows a course and they like a course, they're going to play well there. And so you just don't know who's going to perform that day. And I think Ethan's a name to watch for as well. Now, when we talk about some of the other regionals, I know you guys are quite familiar. I know Peyton, your four-ball teammate, and Eli, your future collegiate teammate, is going to be playing up at that regional. And with Braden Miller, talk to me a little bit about all those guys up there and how that regional looks from an individual standpoint.
Yeah, well, it seems like, based on what I've heard from that regional, that you know, some of those guys play on some teams that may not be quite as competitive. So often the race to get out of there as an individual is pretty tight and contested. And with Alex coming back to high school golf this year, it makes it even harder up there for them to get out as an individual. So, yeah, I mean, if I was playing up there, I'd certainly want to have the best of my best game to get to state, because that's probably, in my opinion, one of the most difficult to get out as an individual.
I would agree with you in that. Peyton, I know you have a good relationship with Braden. Have you had a chance to speak with him at all lately?
I really haven't talked to him a lot, but I know we talked. We were both at the Die, and so was Eli, and kind of talked to him there a little bit about it. And he said he's going to have to play his best, you know, because, I mean, you got three or four of the best guys in Indiana that are all at one regional, and only three get out. And like Eli said, I mean, their teams may not be – they have a chance, but if something goes a little wrong with after those guys in their lineup, then they may not make it. So for all of them, they're going to have to – it's going to be a boat race to see who can get in and get finished and have the lowest score, you know. So it'll be interesting to watch the Twitter feed to see what happens up there. But
absolutely. I think everybody's kind of watching to see how Luke plays. If Luke comes through and Silas plays, Westview could make it through as a team, but it's going to take both of them playing well for them to get through as a team. And then that's going to free it up for Alex and Braden at that point. If not, it's going to make it a tight race for all those guys to make it to state. That's just kind of my opinion with how it's going to look.
Yeah, I would agree totally with that.
Absolutely. Now, getting ready for regionals, obviously, Eli, you talked a little bit about that. You practiced today, or you said you're playing tomorrow morning somewhere else and then heading up to Coyote for your practice round?
I'm not playing tomorrow morning. I'm just
gonna
go up there tomorrow and hit some balls beforehand, make sure my game feels good before I go out there and see the course again.
Absolutely. I think you're going to enjoy that. Peyton, practicing tomorrow, what's the plan?
Yeah, I'm just going to play at my home course tomorrow and just in the morning, just kind of get out there and hit some, and then just going to really rest, because had a long couple weeks of tournament golf. So just kind of try to rest my body and get back to 100% before and be ready to go Thursday morning.
I think you two have played many holes over the last couple of weeks from what I can tell with the Die sectionals. And I know, Eli, I don't see as much of your guys' information down south being posted, Peyton, but I know just up here in the Central, it seems like Garen's playing every day over the last couple of weeks. So you're probably looking forward to some rest for yourself.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that 36-hole day at the Die was pretty exhausting, especially in that wind, because both of those rounds were over 5 hours. I know there were some guys that were struggling. Peyton was actually in the group in front of me. One of the kids in his group just booked it.
Yeah, 35th hole.
What on the 35th hole? What happened?
He was kind of struggling. He was just graduated freshman year in high school, so he was a young kid. But he just kind of was struggling all day, and then hit one left, and just decided it was, I guess, time to be done. So it was a bit interesting. I've never had that happen before. So that was different to see, but
35 holes and just walked off the course.
Yep.
And I don't think that kid will be playing at Purdue in a few years now. So
probably not.
guys, I wish you to play well in the next couple of days. I know that I believe both of you will be at state no matter what. Obviously, you two are the best individuals of the state that we have to offer. some great players in the both of you. And I look forward to seeing you guys at Prairie View in a couple of weeks, but good luck at regionals and I'll see you then.
Thanks, awesome. Man. Thank you.
Everyone, thanks for joining us on this regional preview show. We look forward to getting people involved for the state championship preview show this weekend and or early next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of From the Card Path with your host, Trent Roberts. Please be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so that you never miss an episode.